It's been an amazing week for me and for my wife Dottie and for our friends Carl and Joan. We have a dear, dear friend who is going to be disconnected today from life support, who we were just with last Saturday, having the wonderful time, partying, wining, dining, playing games. Just, and he said to us, you know, before he left that night, he sings in a New York City church choir every Sunday. He said, I haven't felt this good in years. I feel the best I've felt. And then because of the absurd nature of life itself, 2 days later, he was in an accident and taken from us, really, in all practical ways. So during this week, we became an interesting new community in my life. And people come into your life and they leave your life. Some are there for a long time. Some are there for a very short time. Some just for almost a nanosecond of time, and they're gone. But they can touch you in such ways that you know God is real and that you're in the kingdom of God right here on earth that Jesus talked about. And such was the case this week with all of these folks that I was meeting for the first time who loved Greg as well, including his sister and brother-in-law from Seattle. And the heights and depths, right? The abundance of life, the ultimate joys of laughter and remembering, and then the ultimate sorrows of having to say goodbye and let go, all in a day, in hours, in minutes that come to you in this kind of thing. And it's to this that this sermon came out of. In other words, Greg, thank you for the sermon, man. I love how the scriptures, they speak to us on an existential level. Hey out there, is anybody listening? Well, listen up, because God has something to say. Say what? Hear this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and with all your might. These words which I command you shall be on your heart. How do you command somebody to love? Isn't love something that you have to be free to receive and to give? Or else it's something else but not love, like coercion, maybe? Or maybe you're forced into love. Really, how can that be? Why? Is it just because you said so, God? My father would use that line, it's because I said so, when all other explanations had ceased to mean anything to me. Because I said so, and I'm your father, that's why. Okay, like Nike kind of saying, just do it. Just do it. Hear what exactly, Lord? The Bible is filled with hundreds of voices all calling out to us from our past, and they come into our present. Some of the voices are as clear as Moses' voice here in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Hackensack. Hear, O Stephen McClellan. The Lord your God is one God. You shall have no other gods before me. Others in the Bible, their voices are reverent and almost in awe, like Job. I spoke of things I had no knowledge of, but now I see thee face to face. I have heard of these things, but now I see you. I know you. Or old man Simeon in Luke's gospel, he said it this way upon seeing the baby Jesus' face at the temple gates. He said, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. I have seen it in the weakness and innocence and tininess of this little baby. Wow. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the stars, the cosmos, the entire universe, is also this one held in Mary's arms, about to go into the temple for circumcision ritual. My eyes have seen thy salvation. What is man? What is woman that thou art mindful of us, Lord? I mean, we're little specks compared to everything. And yet there are these other voices too, like Amos, who is just upset and disgusted with his own people. I hate and I despise your feasts and all of these solemn assemblies. or the priests in the Bible who drone on and on about the dimensions and the furniture and the length of the temple and its chairs, and the scribes spelling it all out, what you can and cannot eat. Just another version, in my opinion, of who's been naughty and nice. Or the historians, the chroniclers in the Bible, whose voice listing all of the kings in Israel's history and all of the battles, all of the tragic lessons of Israel's desire to be like all the other nations. Aye, to be like everybody else. To have to worship a human king. And somewhere in the midst of all of these voices, there is one particular voice that comes speaking to us, a voice that speaks directly to our deepest longings in our heart, that speaks to the hope that we all want to live out of. I don't want to live out of despair. I don't want to live out of cynicism. I don't want to live out of apathy. I want to live an abundance of life. I want to feel it all. And there is this voice that comes out of this. It comes to us when we're wearied in life. It comes to us when we have felt, as Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden and overburdened." Because my understanding of God is pretty simple. Love, love, love. Thinking we instead have to be perfect, right? Rather than kind and loving to one another. How absurd is that? But it was in such a wilderness that the great words of Moses came forth like a trumpet, clarion call of clarity. To command to love the Lord God at all, let alone in the wilderness, is like being commanded to be well when we are sick, to sing for joy when we are dying, telling us to pick up our pallet and walk. Nevertheless, nevertheless, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And even in the wilderness, maybe even in, especially because it's in the wilderness, you shall love the Lord your God. And while it's a command, it's also a promise. It's a promise. A promise that on this fragile human frame, on these fragile feet of faith, we take one footstep forward with a wing and a prayer. Please let there be sun. We will come to see that love means having an abundance of life with all of its joys and with all of its frustrations and with all of its sorrows, with all of its losses and the amazing win from time to time. The amazing win from time to time, whatever that means. To be found in our dying, in our rising. It means all of these things because God has been there and has come back. And the hope of his voice that comes to us in the wilderness is simply this, that God is well aware of our grief because God has been there. God too has lost a child. God too has lost a son, a daughter. And by loving God, hopefully, and it's for our sake, really, it's for our sake, we will come to love each other. Instead of judging each other, instead of dividing each other up, who's in, who's out, who's worthy of my love, who's not? And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. You shall know it intimately. And you'll teach these words diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house. You shall talk of God when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down at night and when you rise. You shall remember the Lord your God. You shall remember the Lord your God who commanded you to love so that you might experience love. And we rise, and we will. We shall. That is the ultimate hope out of this wilderness. Every last one of us, just like Jesus striding out of the wilderness after his encounter with his devil, his nemesis, the one who had promised him the world. You can have it all if you simply fall down and worship something less than God. You can have it all. What is that all? That is the promise. That's the point of it, isn't it? Really? We have to love to experience this life. Anything less is really wasting a gift, precious gift, precious gift. We have to love each other, and that's the only way we really love God. How can you love the universe? You can admire it. You can be in awe of it. How do you love it? Well, love each other. We can debate it all we want. We can have dogmas and confessions all we want. But in the end, we must live out of it if we want to experience this life. If we want to know what God intended for us, if you want to have meaning in your life, you must open your heart up and risk it being broken from time to time. You must risk being vulnerable. You must risk being weak and admitting to it. Admitting, I don't have enough faith right now. Can you help me? I don't have enough hope right now. Can you share a story with me that takes me out of myself? Just as tragedy and comedy are the faces on that same Greek coin, right? Tragedy and comedy. One minute you're laughing, the next minute you're weeping. You have no idea why sometimes even. It's just a gift. It is. It's a gift. Tears and laughter. They cleanse us. They cleanse us. They make us sigh. Too deep for words. What good are words? Hear, O Israel. I'm not going to talk long. Love me. And Jesus adds one more thing. And each other. And yourselves. Learn how to love yourself. Learn how to forgive yourself. Learn how to let go of how you think life should go. And instead appreciate the experience of it. Every day, wake up saying thank you. Thank you. And every night, say thank you when you go to bed. Tell people I love you. Don't think that they know it. Tell them again and again until they say things like, I know that. Remind each other. Because in us, this life, this struggles between fear and faith, between doubt and hope, between love and hate, in our dying and in our rising, we're being taught to let go of all of our notions of the shoulds and the oughts. Life happens as we make plans. Life interrupts and says, pay attention to me. You don't have all the time in the world. You're mortal. Pay attention. This was, and is Jesus' greatest take, interpretation on this passage in Deuteronomy. Loving God comes from our neighbor in equal measure to ourselves. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I used to think that just meant goodness, always goodness, right? What's goodness? Goodness is also tears. Goodness is also feeling the depths of life, the absurdity of life, the paradox of life. But there is only this life that we have right now, and it is only our faith, it is only our hope, and it is only our love that shall endure here. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? Everything else is simply passing away. Amen.